The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery. He's with us this week. He's back. And Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions is also with us on the phone. Bill, you're there.
Yes, actually, I am here.
All right, this is going to be a good week. I can feel it. The number to call here is 312-332-3776. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your calls with questions about the value of your collectibles. And we've got a great prize to give away today, actually. We're giving away a box of 2015 Topps Archives Baseball. If you look at my Twitter ID as TCrownTom, earlier this week, Bill, one of our regular customers, Bill and his son Camden, got a box of Topps Archives at Triple Crown in Naperville, T-Crown, TCrownTom. It all ties together.
It does.
And they got, I put a picture of it up there. Will Farrell, I don't know if you remember, in spring training, played for 10 different teams in one day, took helicopters everywhere, and they pictured him with cards in archives in all 10 uniforms, and then he signed, they're short printed, I think one per box typically, you'll get one of the cards, but then he signed 10 cards.
Just 10? So there's 10 just 10 autos
in
of them?
Each uniform. Okay. And Bill and Camden pulled the White Sox version of that. Well, there's a celebrity that I don't know if I should really, I don't 100% know that. I'm not going to name the celebrity, but there's a celebrity supposedly that wants to buy one of each one of these cards and is paying very good money for them. Well, I've seen the first one sold for $600 or $700 on eBay, then one sold for $700 or $800. Well, Bill ended up selling his for $1,000 on eBay.
Very nice.
Yeah, so Bill Huggins, I don't know if you've seen anything at your place with the Topps Archives 2015 baseball, but it's a neat product anyway. They have fans of the game autographs, and
yeah. Did they actually try and send the ones with the certain teams to the certain areas, or no, they can't do that?
No, because you don't know. Like for me, like I get boxes from three different distributors from three different parts of the country, and they have no idea, you know, who's going where. That just to get anyone in any uniform is really lucky, but it. But getting the White Sox one, you know, was good.
I opened up a box last night of Topps Archives, and you know what autograph I hit? Joe Oliver, catcher for the Reds. So
boy.
I'm looking to get some more
Oliver,
archives.
Oh, Oliver, yes. Again, that's not the one that, like, people have on their list that they're looking for all the time.
No, maybe Mr. and Mrs. Oliver, you know, may buy it for 99
and,
cents.
And they were like, is he still around? Yes, but it's a neat product. We're giving away a box, 2015 Topps Archives Baseball, 312-332-3776. And if I can get onto Twitter here, I'll look at the T-Crown Tom Twitter ID. If you send me a message to @T-Crown Tom and we use it on the air, you'll also get in the drawing, which we do the drawing every week. And ERC Delivery delivers free of charge to your door. Vince's company, ERC Delivery.
Yes, we will.
So the drawing will be at the end of the show. Now, Bill, are you worn out? The June auction ended this week. Did it go later? It looked like it did real well for you.
Yeah, there was some spirited bidding at the end. I think it's really, really trending toward the auctions are toward the last day. I mean, I have always a few, I call them Nervous Nelly consigners that, well, gosh, the first few days we had a lot of bids, and then haven't had many bids until, you know, the last day or so. And
yeah, that's
just the way it is. And the last days, I mean, we had three or four different people literally in our store viewing lots until 9:45 when they had to place a bid that night.
Wow, really? Man.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, you only got 15 minutes. Yeah, I know, leave me alone.
That's got to be such an exciting environment, you know, those last hours of an auction. That's got to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's actually fun. You should come out and spend the night with us one time. You would enjoy it. You can even answer phone calls. We have a lot of guys, you know, who still, they call in and bid. I guess they don't want to do the computer part of it yet. They're fighting it all the way. So
you get calls from all over the world, right? Not just the United States. You guys ship all over the world?
Yeah, we have, you know, about 20 different foreign countries that we send catalogs to. I mean, some of them are only one, you know, and stuff, but... Like I said before, we have this one guy in Quito, Ecuador, who bids with us and has ever since we used to run our auctions live, you know.
Huh.
And he bids and wins stuff virtually every auction.
That's cool.
I was searching high to low at completed items, and there was an item on there that was really neat that I never saw when I was looking through things before, but this Newt Rockne antique photograph and postcard lot of 46 with a lot of football scenes in there. That ended up going for $8,000. That was really neat. That was some neat old photos there, Bill. That was a cool item.
It was actually from Newt's daughter, I believe.
Oh, really? You're
that
kidding.
That signed this thing, yes, through one of our reps in Indiana, J.D. Heckathorn, met this lady and, you know, had no idea what to tell the lady to expect, and I don't think she had any gigantic expectations either, but she's going to be real happy.
Oh, yeah. So that was basically the family box of pictures, right? I mean, is that what it was? I mean, that.
Well, it was her collection of them. There were lots of pictures of Newt, and a lot of them we couldn't really tell. You know, is this Newt when he was a little kid, or is this his brother or somebody else, you know, and stuff like that. Because some of these kids, you know, they don't look like Newt Rockne when they're, you know,
old. Yeah, he didn't have the whistle or the sweatshirt. Who is he?
Right. That would have been a dead giveaway, but we didn't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was quite the price on that baby. And then another thing I hadn't noticed that did really well, a 1917 New York Giants World Series press pin. $4,750 for that press pin. That was neat.
Yeah, you get into press pins from the mid-20s on back, and they're just very hard to find. They don't surface that much.
I didn't even know they were doing them that early, to be honest with you. It's not like something that people bring into Triple Crown very often, that's for sure.
Well, some of them are so basic, and then some of them, like I think we had a couple of ones from the Phillies or something, or the Red Sox or something from the teams that are just so elaborate and ornate that it's ridiculous, you know.
And you know
but
who
I
won
guess
that
it's
17?
All and what they decided to do.
You know who won that 17 World Series, don't you, Tom?
Beat was that the White Sox?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, that was
your
their
White
last.
Sox.
Oh,
yep.
I knew there was some reason that World Series rang a bell. That was before the Black Sox.
That's
yeah.
right. Just a couple years.
Yeah. I wonder what the White Sox World Series press pin from that year would go for. Well, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Scott on the road. What do you have there, Scott? What's new?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. This is Scott and Cole. We're from Park Ridge, Illinois. We're heading to Nebraska for a 13U baseball tournament.
Oh.
Just turned you on. Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that. Hopefully we have good weather out there.
Yeah, any reports on what it's supposed to be? This rain is been, it's getting old here now, man. You know, but
yeah.
I'm the cup half full type guy. I'm driving in today thinking, well, at least this isn't winter and snow. How much snow would we have had this? Oh,
that would be crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, Scott, what do you have?
We have a original cell from the Michael Jordan movie Space Jam signed. I think it was one was from 500 of them total made. And I was wondering what that might be worth.
Now, was that Upper Deck authenticated?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was from UDA. Have you ever run the Michael Jordan Space Jam signed cells in an auction, Bill?
Gosh, I almost want to say that we have. I don't remember what it went for when we sold it, but I want to say I have seen that, and I'm thinking we may have run one of those over the years. As far as a guess, though, I mean, that's got to be $1,000 plus, easy.
Yeah, do you remember what you originally paid for that, Scott?
I remember I bought it from, like, when I was the original, I don't know if it was Disney Store or when they were first making it. I think I only made, like, 500 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly which number we have. I think it was close to about $800-$900 when we paid when we bought it.
Yeah, I would think that would do better than that now. If you were ever thinking of putting that in a Huggins and Scott auction, I'm sure Bill would be happy to take that one. Right, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, those are – you cross over into – two different categories really there. You got the movie industry plus the sports industry.
Yeah.
Right.
Good item.
Well, good luck in the baseball
tournament there, Scott, in Nebraska. Hopefully it's
go
not
Park
raining.
Warriors blue.
Okay, there you go.
Thanks, guys.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Have a good one. The number here is 312-332-3776. I would imagine a lot of people in the Chicago area were up late celebrating after the Blackhawks win last night. These games, everyone coming right down to the end are so tense. They're so exciting.
Yep,
they're so good to watch.
Through five games, there's been no two-goal lead.
No,
just one goal
leads
the whole way.
It's just incredible.
Amazing.
It's really been something, the games. And the flurry last night at the end of the game wasn't quite like the one that Crawford withstood at the end of game four, where honestly, yep, when I'm watching that game, I'm thinking it felt like there were two pucks on the ice being shot at him from different sides. It's like the puck was flying all over the place.
That's the best Crawford has played in a long time at the end of the
game. He's coming through big time.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a good game last night. And Bishop, except for his Mo Larry Cheese collision where Patrick Sharp finally gets on the board with a goal there because Bishop collided with his own guy.
Like
where he
30
was,
feet
yeah,
from the
what's
net,
he doing out there?
Nuts.
What are you doing?
Don't know.
And the defenseman is like, what are you doing? Yeah, that was a couple big guys collide, and Sharp's like, oh, thank you very much.
Yep,
and
that's going to make a lot of highlight reels for years to come,
oh,
I think,
yeah,
that play.
Yeah, especially if they end up winning the series. Yep. You know, I don't – it's usually a team goes up 3-2, and you're thinking, okay, all right, you know, right now, it's like, how can you even, you can't, it's just, you just cross your fingers and hope they get one more win here in one of these games. It'd be great to see them win it in Chicago,
though,
wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. First time since 1938 or something like that that the Hawks
that they would
won
win
it
at home. Now, you went to a game.
Yeah, I went to the game Monday night, last Monday night, where they lost. So
that was the game where they scored a goal again to go ahead 2-1, right? And then they gave up a quick one away.
13 seconds later, and then, you know, with 3 minutes to go in the game, Tampa Bay scored the game winner. So.
Yeah. Now, how did the crowd noise go from the goal to the other goal? It must have been,
it was edge of the seat hockey all night long, but to go from one high, getting a goal, and then 13 seconds later, it's just like, you know, the balloon just popped.
Yeah.
It was just,
yeah,
it was brutal, but a lot of fun.
Yeah. Vince sent a picture of him and his, you went with your neighbor, right?
Yeah. I went with my neighbor, but then he needed to cancel. So, so I actually ended up taking a buddy.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Last minute, but we were there.
Vince sent a picture, which I posted on, Twitter earlier this week. If you want to see Vince and his buddy on at the Hawks game, it's up there on T Crown Tom on Twitter. And let's see, it looks like Superman Todd posted something here. He's got a Super Bowl VII. It just looks like it's a program from Super Bowl VII, it must be. How are the old programs doing? How far back do they have to go for any decent money, Bill?
You're talking about Super Bowl programs?
Super Bowl programs. This is a pretty plain-looking
really
program.
Yeah, you really need to get the first five are really good. The first five, you get into hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And then 5 to 10, you're into... Oh, $75 to $100, $125, and then once you get past 10 or 11, they're under $50, and you get up to like 14 or 15, they're $10, $20, because that's when you could order them over the phone, or you know, whereas the early ones you had to virtually be there.
Now that first Super Bowl, wasn't it that they didn't sell out the Super Bowl? And they were almost like giving away tickets like the night before. Some lady was in a hotel room with like thousands of tickets. Like, what do I do with these things? So What do tickets go for, either unused tickets or ticket stubs, like from the first Super Bowl? Do you ever run that stuff?
Oh, yeah, we've had that. I think we even had one time a complete run of them, and it went for $8,000 or $10,000 or more. The early ones, to try and find a full ticket, is very, very tough. Once the, I don't know where they got to the point where they don't tear them anymore and they just scan them, so everything's a full ticket. Those become different types of values and everything, but the early full tickets, but you got to be careful because they made a bunch of these after the fact, and they made them into paperweights.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of those that are paperweights, and you can tell it. I don't know what the section, seat, and row is, but they're all the same. And if you have this ticket and it's this specific section, row, and seat number, that's the paperweight.
So. Okay, so that one's not valuable.
No, not much.
But if you did save your ticket stub from any Super Bowls, you probably got a chance for some, at least some decent value.
Oh, sure, without a doubt. Those are highly collectible, more so than the Pro Tram.
Yeah,
much more valuable.
Those are gradable, too, right? I mean, the SGC and PSA will grade those ticket stubs if you have a nice one that you weren't sitting on the whole game or something.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well, it's interesting. The Coliseum for Super Bowl I in California, only 61,000 people were at that game, and the capacity, as they're saying, is 90,000.
Yeah,
so, you said, a lot of missing
It was no big deal at the time. I think most people thought the NFC was just going to kill the AFC, and, it really was. I think they're...
And they did in that game, 35-10 in favor of Green Bay.
They did. The first couple, Green Bay really kicked butt with them. But also, didn't... I think it was televised on two networks, which was weird. That was way before the big money came with all the commercials. Now it's a whole industry just watching commercials.
Yep.
You know, who's got the best commercial? But okay, well, it's time for a short break. The number's 312-332-3776. We're giving away a box of Topps Archives baseball to one caller, two autographs per box, including a chance at a Will Ferrell autograph. So give us a call with a question about the value of your collectibles or tweet me at TCrownTom a picture of an item. If we use it, you get in the drawing for the Topps Archive box. So hang in there. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and LeBron.
Once the game starts, I mean, it's going to be easy.
It's not so easy right now, is it, LeBron? Oh, he left. I guess he doesn't want to talk to us.
Amazing how that series has turned
around.
Oh,
my God. Those guys, if the Warriors can keep running, every time they walk the ball up the court, they're doing the Cavs a favor. Yep. The Cavs have seven guys. Warriors got to send waves at them, running, 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 because this is the first time I remember LeBron actually looking tired.
Yep.
They're wearing them. And Dellavedova got gassed that one game when he played the 45 minutes, went all out. He looked like he was going to die in the second half.
Steve Kerr took your advice and just decided to run and run and run.
I've been tweeting that, and that's when it really boils down to it, what really bothered me the most about Tibbs. The Bulls had the same advantage. When Kyrie went out, the Bulls had depth. All they had to do was run. And so what are they doing? They're walking the ball up court and only playing seven guys and not taking advantage of the depth advantage that they had, and they lost the series. And still, when you look back now, they actually played the Cavs really tough. It's just the strategy wasn't there as far as I'm concerned. So you know what I mean? It's like, that's what got me. That's what got me. So I'm looking forward to Hoiberg with the whole thing.
Well, you know he's going to run. His high offensive focus is going to help the Bulls, I think, a lot.
And you know what? We talked some about superstitions and
all week long we've been talking superstitions.
Yes. And then whether you're superstitious or not being superstitious, and it becomes a thing where you can drive yourself nuts with it. It's better to not. If you're wearing a shirt and the Blackhawks win, okay, wear the shirt again maybe. But don't go overboard with it. So at T-Crown, we've been talking about this. People have been coming in, picking up cards. Like the one guy came in, I was saying last week, he had to get a new card of a Blackhawk every time they won on his door at work, or everybody at work thought the Blackhawks would never win another playoff game. Okay, so he got the cards. We're all set. We're good. Now, Mike from Berwyn, who's a regular at Trade Day at T-Crown, he's been the whole time, he's not into this super. He's like, come on. They don't know if I'm wearing a Taves jersey or not. They don't care what I'm saying. They don't care what I'm doing here at T-Crown, what I say. Right, Vince?
Yes.
Okay, Mike, even
last
week.
He made it very
week,
clear yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm not superstitious.
And yesterday again.
That's right.
So then, like some people left. Vince was there. Vince left. There's only a couple people there. And Mike's sitting in the Comiskey Park chair over on the other side at T-Crown. He goes, man, I haven't made a trade yet today. This would be a weird trade day to make no trades at all. And he goes, that's got to be bad for the Blackhawks. Here's a guy who has no superstitions,
yes.
But if he doesn't make a trade on trade day, that's bad for the man, yeah. I cracked up when he did that. He was so anti-superstitions.
It goes to show we're all superstitious on some level. On
a little
some
bit,
yes. A little bit anyway.
You just can't get it carried away.
That's
All right, we've got Jim from Tinley Park on the line. What do you have there, Jim?
Hey, good morning, guys. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks, yes.
I've got a set of cards. It's from the 69 top set. It's all the Cubs players, but I've got the majority of them signed.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot in person. Some I picked up on the internet. But the big ones, Banks, Williams, Jenkins, Santo, both the Santo cards, the regular and the All-Star card, and the same for Kessinger, all signed.
Now, was there a Don Young card in that set?
It was a triple set with Jimmy Qualls and Alex Bustoso, and I do have Young and Qualls signed.
Ooh, now that's good because Young isn't as willing of a signer as a lot of those other guys.
Right.
Now that sounds like a good auction item, Bill, right? The 69 Cubs with, I guess not all of them signed, but most of them signed. Are there any still living that you don't have signed on it, Jim, that you could still get signed?
None that are still living.
Okay.
That I don't have signed already.
But all the Hall of Famers you have signed, and Don
Famers,
Young, which is a toughie.
Don Young, it includes DeRochers on there, and Joe Niekro, Gene Oliver, and those are the ones I can think of that are deceased. And Willie Smith is another one that is signed that I have on there, yeah.
Willie Smith with the opening day when he hit that home run at Brickhouse's call on that one. You thought that was going to be the year right there if you're old like me and you remember that time thing. Didn't happen, though, yeah. So now, Bill, would that be a Huggins and Scott auction item, or is that more of a Chicago item for sale?
Well, I mean, I would say it could be both. I mean, it may be a Huggins and Scott auction item that goes to somebody in Chicago.
Yeah, right. Very likely could be. Yeah, that's a good item.
I would think the key part of that collection, and I'm not really sure, maybe Jim knows, is who's the toughest signature to get? Who died shortly after 1969 the closest? Who would have had the least amount of time to sign a card? That's where you're going to get into the real tough one.
Yeah, you know,
I'm trying to think of when DeRocher passed. That would probably be the tough one to get on there.
DeRocher's tough, but honestly, I know I've had a lot of guys that try to get the 69 Cubs, like team signed balls and stuff. And for a long time, Don Young was not signing. He was not going to any of the things where. So having him, that's actually a good one. I think Don Young might still be alive, and maybe he's starting to sign more now, but. For a long time, nobody could get him to sign. He got that. I don't know if the history of things, but Young missed a fly ball when the Cubs were playing in New York, maybe in July, I think, of that 69 season when the Cubs were still on a roll. And that kind of Santo got all over him.
He went off on him, didn't he?
Yeah, Santo ripped him, yeah.
Yeah, and it seemed that the whole karma seemed to shift after that. And I don't think Don Young even liked being almost associated with the whole thing, but ended up now he is. But I think it's a good signature having that one in it. And I think that would be, I would think if you had them all signed, I'm thinking you're probably looking well over 500, maybe even a grand. With not all of them signed, I still think you're looking probably a few hundred dollars myself.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's a great collection. Now, maybe what you can do, if you can pick up authenticated 69 Topps autographed cards of the guys that are deceased that you don't have yet, try to do it that way.
All right.
And try to fill that baby out. It'd be fun to have anyway.
It would be, yes.
All right.
Yes, it is already. All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday, 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. If you call us 312-332-3776 with an item or tweet a picture of an item, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing for the 2015 Topps Archives baseball box, which I was saying earlier in the show, Will Ferrell signed 10 of each of the 10 teams. They have a card of him wearing each of the 10 teams' uniforms, and those are averaging about a grand what those autograph cards are selling for of Will Ferrell. Hard to get, but they do sell. They sell for good money if you get them. And it's a fun box. There's some other fun autographs. Anyway, when he said Oliver, I thought he was originally talking about your guy,
my
Vince.
Joe Oliver auto I hit yesterday.
But he was Gene Oliver.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Gene Oliver, I think, was traded at, this is something to look up now, I think this is true, I think he was traded at one time for Bob Uecker, because Gene Oliver didn't want to catch Phil Niekro's knuckleball, either that or he couldn't.
Really?
He couldn't catch it. And like Uecker said, he was really good at it. He'd wait till it stopped rolling after it hit the wall and go and pick it up. So I'm pretty sure that would be something to check. But I think there was a Gene Oliver for Bob Uecker trade somewhere along the line. We've got Charlie on the line from, is it really Bull Valley or is the bull just flying there, Charlie? What's going on?
No, it's Bull Valley. We're up between Crystal Lake and Woodstock and McHenry.
Oh, really? No, I've never heard of that one. But, yeah, that's a nice area there.
Yeah. Hey, I heard you guys talking about the Super Bowl ticket stubs.
Yeah.
And had a chance to go down to see the Bears in New Orleans for the number 20.
Okay.
And so I've been holding on to my ticket stub, and I had a chance. I knew a guy who worked in the Bears organization, and gave it to him to get Peyton to sign it. And he held on to it for about a year and finally got the opportunity. And so he signed the back of it. And it's not a mint condition ticket stub, but it's in pretty good shape.
Ooh,
but,
now, there can't be a ton of those ticket stubs signed by Walter. I have an idea in mind, but Bill, what do you think of that? Signed on the back side, that's probably not as good for just display purposes, but what do you think of the value of that?
Gosh, I don't know. You're right, Tom. I don't know that I've ever seen one of those tickets signed by Peyton. I'm thinking you got to be talking 1,000+.
Yeah, I kind of think so, too. Yeah, and I suppose if you were going to display that, well, first off, you'd probably want to get it in like one of the grading companies where they grade it and authenticate the autograph. And then if you were going to put it on a frame on the wall, you'd want to have it somehow where people could see both sides of it. Or maybe, you know, get something that where it spins around or something when it's on display. I don't know. But, yeah, that's neat. I think that's you hear of the team signed balls from there. I think I've seen a couple programs that Peyton has signed, but I don't remember ever seeing a Super Bowl ticket signed by him. So that's really neat.
Hey, I got a couple other ones too. These are just kind of happenstance that I got to go to these games. But also, when Peyton broke Jim Brown's rushing record, I've got that ticket, although it's, the stubs back then were like about the size of a piece of gum or something. So
now, is that signed by Walter also?
Well, I gave it to him at the same time to get signed, but it was just too small for him to sign it. So I've got that. It's one of those they just tore in half, so it's kind of small. And then back when the Bulls were, you know, in the Jordan era, the Bucks used to have a 10-plus-2 pack. You get 10 games plus the two Bulls games. And so I was up there when the Bulls won, what was it, the number 72 game.
Okay.
Up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah.
And not signed or anything, but...
Oh, you have that ticket stub. Yeah, now that's a good collectible. I don't know, is that over a $100 ticket, you think, Bill, the number 72 game? I mean, that is the record still.
Yeah, I would think that that would easily get to $100 or more.
Yeah, yeah, that's neat. Nice stuff, good collectibles. And I, Bill, now the signed Super Bowl ticket, you'd be in on running that in a Huggins and Scott auction, right?
Sure, I would love to see what the world would pay for that. I think that may surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, that would be something to see. That'd be something we would definitely mention on the show if you do decide to auction that. We'd like to see what it goes for.
All right.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Appreciate your thoughts.
Okay. It's time for another short break here. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a 2015 Topps Archives baseball box to one caller. Or if you tweet me an item at TCrownTom that we use on the show, you'll also be in the drawing, which will be delivered free of charge by Vince's company, ERC Delivery. So hang in there. We'll be right back, folks.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time every Sunday morning, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away to one caller or a tweeter. TCrownTom is my Twitter ID, a box of 2015 Topps Archives Baseball. So give us a call. 312-332-3776. Bill, I only had a couple boxes of that historic autographs, HA Originals 1909 to 1912 Diamond Edition. I can't find any more. I don't know if you still have them, but Vince opened one actually yesterday. A beautiful Clark Griffith autograph, a giant Clark Griffith autograph with a tobacco card corresponding with them.
That was great. The old Fox, you know, we had a split yesterday, and it's just a beautiful signature, beautiful card, and love the way it was presented. I just wish I could get more of the product.
Yeah, I originally thought, Clark Griffith, that was the guy, I think he owned the Twins, like, in the early 60s, and then when we looked it up, it's like he died like in the 50s, so that was right. Actually his son that owned the Twins. I mean, that's that long ago that Clark Griffith was around, but he's a pretty big name. He played, managed, so that's a good autograph. I think that's a pretty valuable one you got.
Looking forward to keeping that actually for a while.
Yeah.
A beautiful product.
So if you can find that HA Originals by Historic Autographs 1909 to 1912 edition, I think they're $350 to $400 if you can find them in that range. I mean, there's some neat stuff, a lot of Hall of Famers, including the Ty Cobb. So check it out, see if you can find them. And then, Vince, you were talking at the break. What's that algebraic equation for Blackhawk fans?
Well, if there's a Hawks game on a Saturday night, plus if you had a few beers, and then you got some rain on Sunday morning, that equates to, like, less callers out of the gate, you know?
Less callers for the radio show on Sunday morning.
Quadratic equation that actually...
Luckily, no matter what happens, as much as I love these Saturday night Hawk games, we know there won't be a game next Saturday because they're at the end. Two more, no matter what. Okay, but we do have callers. We have Carl from LaPorte, Indiana. What's up, Carl?
I've got a Notre Dame football signed by all the Notre Dame Heisman winners.
Oh, now that's good. I've seen those before. You have every one of them, huh?
Every single one of them, and I personally got their autograph.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Now, were there six Notre Damers?
Nope. Seven.
Seven. Do you have the list in front of you, like, real quick? You can name them off.
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, that's all right. But yeah, that's a good item. Have you ever run that, Bill?
You know, I want to say we have. I don't know whether it was a football or I know they did a print of the seven of the guys, and
yes.
I don't know if we're all available at one time to sign all these, or if they had to do it in different times. But I know we've had the print signed by all seven of them, and I'm trying to remember what it went for, but certainly you could check that out on our website. But no, very, very neat item, and probably, I don't know if Notre Dame has had more Heisman Trophy winners than any other school. They certainly got to be number one or two on the list.
Yeah, you, I would think that's number one. Do you know for sure on that, Carl?
Yeah, they are number one. They've got seven Heisman Trophy winners. I'm not sure who's second, but it might be USC might be second.
Did you hear me talking earlier in the show? You weren't one of the bidders on that Newt Rockne antique photograph postcard lot that ran in the Huggins and Scott auction, were you?
No, I was not. I just got on late.
Okay, there were 46 different photos, went for $8,000. Bill was saying that it came from Newt's daughter, correct, Bill?
Yeah. And,
in Indiana.
There was another item in there. We had three groups of things we made up, and another item, it didn't go for as much because we kind of culled out the better pictures, but there was this briefcase that came with it from the 1920s, 1930s, that's what they were housed in from day one, and we sold the whole rest of them with the briefcase or suitcase and everything.
That reminds me, actually, I want to see that. Remember a few weeks ago I was talking about the guy who had emailed and tweeted pictures of the 1930s White Sox game-worn jersey?
Yes,
and he said everything got water damage, but he had old gloves, spikes, entire uniform. I can't think of the name of the player, but it was a pretty good name player. But I wanted to see that briefcase, too. He said it smelled like the 30s, that briefcase. So whatever that smell is, that's what that briefcase smelled like. But that's neat stuff.
In the case of Heisman Trophy won by school, Ohio State and Notre Dame tie with seven, with USC second with six.
Okay, so, very good. So
in there.
That's good to get that clarified. Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, take it easy. Next on the line, we have Brian from Chicago. What's new, Brian? What do you have today?
Hey, good morning. Hey, in regards to what you guys were saying about the callers post-Hawks game, I'm one of those guys. I'm driving to work right now feeling pretty cruddy.
And you were supposed to be at work at 6:30, right?
we're not going to go into that, but yeah.
Good game, though.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I'm a first-time caller. I've never heard the show before, but I was driving out to work, so I figured I'd call in to one of my things.
And when you first heard us, were you thinking...
exactly. I was like, what is this show? This is great.
All right, so what do you have?
So in, like, the mid-90s, the Topps line released a line of cards called Embossed, which are these, like, 3D basketball cards.
Okay.
Not fully 3D, but they kind of had like texture to them. And in each pack of cards, there was a gold card, and it was there were like 15 regular cards and one gold card. And that year, Michael Jordan was playing with the 45 number, it's at 23.
Mm-hmm.
So they released a limited edition Michael Jordan gold Topps embossed 45 card, where it was an action shot of him doing a 3-pointer, but he was wearing the 45 instead of 23. So I have a gold Michael Jordan Topps embossed 45 card. And I've been sitting down for a while. I'm just curious what it would be worth. It's a beautiful
any idea
card.
How many? Any idea what the print run was on that card?
I'm not entirely sure. I know Topps Embossed weren't around for that long.
Yeah.
Like the actual embossed line. And then the gold cards are even more rare.
Yeah.
And the Jordan 45 was even more rare because he's wearing the 45 number instead of wearing the 23.
Haven't seen that one, but I can tell you that limited edition Jordan stuff from the 90s is doing real well right now. Items that where there's a couple hundred or less that were produced. So I haven't seen that particular item for sale, but it would be worth doing some research on them and see if you can find out how many were produced. If you ever are thinking of selling it, to give you an idea, one of my customers had a late 90s Flair Showcase parallel card that was numbered to 150. And he got that graded by Beckett Grading, BGS Grading. It got a gem mint grade. We looked up on eBay when he got it back, and one had sold for like $3,500. So
if it is
a low number in a high grade, I would suggest getting it graded by BGS, and then you'll have it where it'll be not necessarily authenticated, but then everybody knows exactly what it is, and try to find out how many were produced, and then you can go from there. It might be a really good item. It just depends if they made a couple hundred or thousands of them as far as
Yeah, in terms of quality, I've got it in a thick inch plastic case, you know, sitting upstairs with the rest of the basketball cards, but I've never had it graded by BGS. How would you go about that?
Okay, well, go to Beckett Grading, Google Beckett Grading, and there's you'll see something there on how to get it graded. The grading companies are always in town at the shows.
Okay.
Vintage cards I like to get graded by PSA or SGC, high grades especially by PSA. But the newer stuff like that, I think BGS Beckett Grading would be good. Bill, those grading companies will be at the National always, correct? And when you're in
it's full swing, and they'll actually be grading at the show. Most of the other shows that we do at Rosemont, the ones in March and November, they're not really grading and encapsulating on site for those. They're just accepting submissions. But for the National, I think all the major grading companies will be there, and I think they charge about $20 or so, to have it done in a few hours or whatever, you know, that it takes.
Yeah, and
of course.
You want to do something like that where you're doing it right there and you wait for it when you have a more valuable item. I think it might be in the $30 range. I don't know. It's probably different. Some of them will have specials at that. But if you've got, like, let's say you have a Gaudi Babe Ruth card, a really valuable card, you want to get it graded, you just drop it off, pay the $30, $20, $35, whatever it is, wait for it, and take it home with you. If you just have a collection of $50, $100 cards and you don't want to pay that much per card to get graded, then just drop them off, insure them for the highest possible grade you think you can get, and then they'll take them, ship them back to you in a couple of months when they get it all graded.
Okay, so this would be the first step for authenticating it, would be to do that.
Yeah, I would do a little research before that time and see if you can find out how many of those were produced, because if it is in the low hundreds, then you might have some very good value to it.
Okay, all right, fantastic. Thank you so much for helping.
Sure thing. Okay, now, I don't know if any of you people play fantasy baseball. I attempt to play fantasy baseball. I'm not doing very well. Last year I had a pretty good fantasy year. This year the golf threw me off, I think. And fantasy baseball, my team's not as good as last year. But I don't know if you noticed, the teams are calling up some really good prospects this week. Carlos Correa got called up, the Astros shortstop. Yep. This guy, to me, is really impressive. He hit a couple home runs. He's got that kind of lanky look to it where it looks like he's really fast. I think he's stolen a couple bases. And he looks like he could be a power hitter, too. I think he's got star potential there. Have you seen him bat at all yet?
He's a natural. He's an absolute natural.
He looks good.
If he stays injury-free, he's going to be 4 or 5 category for the rest of his career.
I think so.
Put up some Hall of Fame numbers.
He looks really good. The Astros have a star there. And then they just announced that Byron Buxton is called up. I think he might be in uniform today for the Twins. Buxton, before the season, was the number one prospect in baseball, an outfielder, five-tool guy. He's been hurt off and on through the last year or two when he's been in the minors, but this year he got off to a slow start. He's been healthy, playing better the last month or so, and the Twins now probably never figured they'd be in first place. I think they're still in first, but in contention, and so they're thinking, hey, let's call him up. This guy's got all the tools. It'll be interesting to see him play. And then the Indians, who they're kind of there with the White Sox, but they finally called up Francisco Lindor, a highly ranked shortstop prospect. Also, I don't think he's got the power that these other two guys do, but he's supposed to be a flashy fielder and fast. So it'll be interesting to watch these new guys.
Absolutely.
And see how high they go. Okay, Vince.
The second half of the season is going to be fun to watch.
In our fantasy league now, Vince, you're not going to be bidding on it.
We'll see how it goes tonight.
We'll see.
Yes.
He's bidding on him. I know. Yeah. Bill, do you guys play fantasy baseball at your place?
Well, yes, we do. We have a fantasy. Well, we have a football league that's all in-house, but I play fantasy baseball and have for 15, 20 years with Kit Young and Kevin Savage and a lot of the other major dealers around the country.
Oh,
we have a league just
now. How do you fit in that?
this year, not so well.
About like my golf league, huh, where just not the right guy in the right week.
The Masters did you in, Tom. The Masters. It was Spieth and the Masters. You switched it. That
was a killer. And I can't, I'm getting a lot of second through fifths, but I cannot get a winner. And you gotta get a couple of winners to get that big prize package in this league, and it's actually very fun.
It is.
I never knew before the league that they had a weekly golf tournament. Now I know that. It's actually very entertaining, and you can only pick each golfer one time during the whole season.
Yep. And you see how he did on Thursday's round.
Right, you get to see that first thing, and then you get whatever their final money is for the tournament. The one thing I have done, at least none of my guys have been cut after I picked them. missed the cut.
Well, that's good. That's good. Something to hang your hat on there,
right.
Tom.
So I'm feeling good about that. I'm bringing up,
We got to get you into a NASCAR racing.
I think
based on what I saw this morning, you might be pretty good at that.
Driving it? Yeah. Bill, we better, all you police officers out there, I'm not going that fast when I'm coming in, gentlemen, but I'm not going to tell you what kind of car I have, but I passed up Vince, Bill, on the highway driving in today, and I was already in the studio before Vince said he parked behind my car. I was nowhere to be found.
You were gone. I blew right past him. My car's like twice the size of your car, and you just took off in the rain.
I've got good tires, like I said. I've got those Bridgestones.
I kept being reminded of Mario Andretti,
He called me Mario.
If you get there the same time Vince does, you have no shot at getting to the studio before him.
No. Even on the bad hamstring, he's still faster.
Right.
Yeah. We never did that, that Joe versus Vince, but that's because Vince got
hurt. That's right. But I've seen Joe walk, and I'll take second place. Joe's a fast walker.
Joe flies.
Yes.
Now, I think like when Joe goes out to dinner with my wife and I think he goes up ahead purposely to not be seen with us, but he does fly.
His appetizers are done before you guys sit.
Yeah. Hey, did you happen to notice that what A-Rod hit a home run last night? And to me, this would be a good number for him to retire on. For A-Rod, it's perfect. He hit number 666 yesterday.
So that's what he's at right now?
I think so. 666. Ooh, that would be. Yeah, I hope he hits another one. I don't like that number.
I'm not superstitious,
but I don't like that number.
Of course.
Now, hot guys. Okay, maybe I'm a little superstitious. I do tend to take the newspaper about the same time before every show, if you've noticed that.
I have.
Yeah, but, I find things.
That's good.
I found the A-Rod 666 by taking the newspaper in.
There's an upside to it.
Yeah, doing a little quiet reading before the show at the same time every week. So, Bill Huggins, now the August auction, you're taking in items for August. And you will be at the National Sports Collectors Convention in Rosemont. That's the last week in July into early August, correct, Bill?
Yes, we've already got several hundred items written and everything, and those will start to get posted in about 2 weeks. People can start to see them, and we're still taking stuff for about the next 3 weeks or so. So if any of our listeners have some really neat items, give us a call.
Call Bill Huggins at 301-608-0355. Vince, time to do the drawing.
Jim from Tinley Park. Email me. Jim from Tinley Park's the winner.
Okay. Email Vince at ercdelivery.com. And Vince, how much will you charge for delivery?
Free of charge. No charge.
All right. Well, have a great week, everybody. The sun will shine sooner or later. Thanks for listening. We're on every Sunday, 7 to 8. Have a great week.